Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, what you been doing for about 2 weeks? Oh, I haven't been on as I've had to take care of some personal business. I had to lay my mom to rest, and I haven't had an opportunity to be on. So I have truly missed my Due Time family. And I want to know what you've been doing. Have you been catching up on some of the episodes you've missed? I hope so, because, you know, that's why we have On Demand, so that you can take an opportunity when we have to be away, you know, unexpectedly, to catch up on all your favorite episodes. You know, we've got 300 episodes out there. Can you imagine? There are 300 episodes that we have out there, whether it was, you know, praying with my husband or praying for my husband's, you know, weaknesses, or the enemy tried to steal my husband's energy, or, you know, Satan tried to steal my husband's energy, or, you know, if God cut out my husband's tongue. Yeah, listen, we've got like tons and tons and tons of stuff. We've got 16 weeks of prayer that you can listen to, praying for the husbands, praying for the moms, praying for the siblings, praying for fire victims, praying for self-care and treatment. Man, we've got tons of stuff that you can listen to if you can hear Pastor Steph live. And I really hope you've taken advantage of that opportunity. Yes. And like I said, I have truly missed each and every one of you. I've missed my listeners. I've missed my Due Time crew. But I want to take this opportunity to say thank you to each and every one of you who called, who sent out a text, who put two cans in a string together, who came out to the service, who may have watched it on Zoom. Just, we were flooded with love and prayers and warm wishes and support. And, you know, just, you know, we talk a lot about prayer here on this Due Time with Pastor Steph. And I want to tell you that in all my experience, you know, I've been sick for quite some time, and you know, people would say, I prayed for you, Steph, you know, you went on, you know, you went into surgery, I was praying for you. And this was one time I really, really, really felt prayer. I really felt your prayer. There were times when I would, you know, start going down and I would just feel lifted. And I knew, you know, I knew that it was the prayer of the righteous. So I cannot thank you enough for your prayers. You know, it's the impact of prayer. The power of prayer is amazing. And like I said, you know me, I'm always talking about prayer and, you know, how powerful it is and what it can do. And, you know me and my prayers. And you helped me when I could not pray, when I would just get up and felt like I was in another world, like I was in La La Land, or if I was somehow dreaming. Your prayers lifted me, and I cannot say thank you enough for just the extension of love that you showed this family, you know, with such a major loss. And, you know, I used to always say to you all that my mom, Auntie Brenda, and Auntie Pam were the three that I watched those numbers come up each and every morning. And I looked for these numbers. I looked for the numbers because that was always my secret way of knowing that they were okay. You know, if their number popped up, then I was like, okay, everybody good. Everybody good. Because if you're sick or out of it or whatever, you're not going to be calling in to listen to Pastor Steph. But that was always my security. And I didn't have to worry. And even if I didn't get a chance to call, as long as I saw their number, I was fine. So, you know, this is going to be an adjustment, you know, not to see that number up on his wall. But again, you know, just please continue to keep this family lifted as we go forward, because now there's just a new journey on the horizon. You know, this is an earnestless journey. And I know God's got us. We're going to have our moments. And for all of you who have experienced the loss of a mother, you have been exceptional because you have really extended yourself and just helped, you know, you've helped us to understand, you know, this is what you're going to go through. And don't feel weird if, or, you know, you're going to go through this, and you're going to go through this, and you just have no words, you have no idea how your words are so comforting. So, you know, I had to take a little break. I did not start with prayer last night, but I wanted a fresh start this morning, and I found that I just couldn't talk after a while last night. And, you know, giving God thanks that I was able to get up. He woke me up this morning, and I was able to give my good morning, good morning, good morning. And I love each and every one of you for just doing what you do. You show love. So we're back at it. We are shaking the Monday morning blues, which is so different now, but we're going to learn how to shake the Monday morning blues in a new way together. And I give God thanks because only he could give energy and energy and just strength and courage. And, you know, I come from a woman who was not a weakling. And I know she would want me to go on. You know, and she would want me to remember all the times that she supported. And, you know, they say that once God closes your eyes for good, all your plans cease. So, you know, I'm going to, you know, I already know that she's not listening and she ain't rooting for me, and we know that. But knowing that when she could, she did, is pushing me forward. So that's how I'm going to shake the Monday morning blues this morning, along with looking at all these beautiful numbers. I see Auntie Pam and Auntie Brenda were the first two people before 7 o'clock even came in. They were like, bang, we're on, followed by my girl, Ketty. We got our Pastor Charlene, then our Lady Tamika, and of course we got our engineer, Shantice, and we've got Elder Ben on the line. So you know what? All of those numbers just gave me courage and strength, and thank you. I love you. Just to see those numbers just pop up, pop up, pop up, pop up, pop up, pop up, pop up. Wow! Oh, what a way to shake the Monday morning blues. So I couldn't ask you, where were you last week? Because it wouldn't have been the same. But I got some stuff for you this morning, man. I finally got to that news. Whoop, man, we got stuff to talk about. These people are still going crazy. 2 weeks of not being on, people are still going crazy. And I got three crazy stories for you. And get those pens out, because I got some piece of advice that I actually pulled up for you this morning. And I'm so looking forward to giving you that information. And we're going to take that break. Thank you again for being right here for me. You're my left arm and you're my right arm, and you're holding each side up. So while you're holding it up, get those pens out, because you're going to need it. And make sure you go get that healthy breakfast. I hope you've been getting a healthy breakfast for 2 weeks, man, because I can't have you weak. Get that healthy breakfast and don't move. Make sure you tell somebody that it's due time with Pastor Steph is back on. I'm back. So I got to get my folks rallied again, okay? Make sure you listen. We'll be right back.
Millions of Americans experience thyroid disorders, but up to 60% of them don't even know it.
One of the most common complaints I get from women is that they are fatigued, they're overweight, that they can't concentrate, and it's all because of their thyroid.
Hyperthyroidism refers to an overactive thyroid, while hypothyroidism is a thyroid that isn't active enough. They can cause classic symptoms such as weight loss or weight gain, nervousness or fatigue, and feeling hot or cold. But there are also some secret signs to watch out for. Mood changes like depression or anxiety can sometimes be the first sign of a thyroid problem. Brain fog or trouble remembering things may signal hypothyroidism. In women, periods that are light, heavy, or irregular can all be symptoms of a thyroid disorder. A puffy face or blurry vision can also be indicators. So can constipation or diarrhea. And if your food tastes different, you might want to get your thyroid checked out.
It can be a critical disease. And so it's important for people to seek out routine care.
I'm Nancy Alvarez reporting.
Well, good morning again, and welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And, you know, we just got finished listening to this thyroid PSA. And I got to tell you that stuff is true. That's one of the things we watched happen, you know, the fatigue, that memory loss, that sluggishness. the puffiness in the face. Yeah, that stuff is true. That stuff is true, and you got to catch it if you're noticing that you got any of those symptoms, especially combined symptoms. Make sure you go and get it checked out, okay? So I want to say I'm glad to be back with you again. God has spared my life and has given me the ability to get back on that horse and ride again. You know, I feel like this is my first time as May 11th, 2020 was our first day. And I was just starting from scratch. It's like, what do you say and what do you do? But I know you're going to help me walk on through this. So get those pens out and let's get to chatting. All right. So listen, I came across this article before I came across, now give us our medical list. But I thought it was really good. I thought this was kind of really good, especially now that people are, you know, we're in our tax season and people are going to start getting money and, you know, doing all kind of things with it. So I thought this was like the perfect thing to bring to you. And these are the things that they say we should never pay for with cash. Now, I have a feeling like we've kind of touched on this before, but hey, we can always use a reminder. Well, one of the things they say never pay for with cash is rent. Yes. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, okay, I get it. I definitely get it. You know, we don't write checks anymore or things like that, but we can go online, or should we say go, Shanti's on the line. We should go online and pay our rent, or go ahead and write that check, or call. Do not go into the management office, for those of you who pay rent, and pay cash. Well, why else? Because you have no paper trail. Absolutely. You know, if you know, to keep up with paper is just yucky. And, you know, it's like, who does that anymore? And there's no proof that you've paid. And if something should, quote unquote, happen to management's side of the transaction, guess who's in trouble? Okay. So make sure you don't pay your rent with cash, and you do something where it comes like out of your bank account. And listen. I know you still not writing money orders. You couldn't be, because that's like cash to me. Yes. You know, I have to pay insurance, and I'm like, y'all ain't got no online or phone ability. So, you know, it always makes me a little suspect when you don't, with all this technology going on, come on, I got to go to the post office, get a money order. And come on, if I lose that, now I'm all jacked up. So, listen, find a way to pay it electronically so that you have your paper trail and nobody could tell you that you did or didn't. Okay? Oh, number two, they say that we should definitely not pay with cash for a car. We do have the option. Yes, you do. They cannot refuse your cash, but they say dealers make more money when customers utilize debt. Yeah. So that encourages you to take out a loan, you know, finance that car. And again, you know, you don't want to be walking around with some hefty, you know, payment in cash. So just, you know, come on. Go ahead and finance it. I know you may not want to spend, you know, or use debt, but in all honesty, a car loan will jack your credit score up. As yes, so you want to get that car loan and you want to make those payments and you want to be on time, because that shoots that credit up. Those numbers start floating up, 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 up. Okay? All right. They say number three, home maintenance and updates. Okay? So they say, you know, as home owners, we definitely will spend money each year on upkeep of our home. And again, paper trail is the key. You know, some home expenses you can put down on your taxes. Yeah. You can write it off against your income. We got new windows put in, and I was able to list that. Mm-hmm. So I know when you're doing, like, roofing and solar changes and, yeah, a lot of stuff you can put down. So, you know, hey, 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 come on, come on, come on. It works for your taxes. You're paying this tax time. So if you didn't, you know, if you paid cash this year, you want to make sure that you don't do it next year, okay? So your taxes can really show, and you can benefit. All right, all right. All right, next thing, utilities and other recurring bills. Well, guess what? The same reason, okay? You got to keep going to the mailbox and all of these kind of things, and no, pay it against your credit card, pay it against your bank account. Sometimes you may want to do automatic payments, and that will help to steady your bill. You know, now that we're in the winter time, make sure you call if you own a home and get on that level billing plan. You know, yeah, those things definitely benefit. And again, it comes from your, right out your bank account, and there's a track record. There's a trail. Also, check this out. Experian, and I'm telling you this is a little caveat. Experian Credit, they have this thing called Boost. And you can assign, like, your utility payments, your, what do you call that thing? Your phone bill, your cell phone bill. Yep. And sometimes some rents. Yes. They are allowing you to do that to boost your credit because they know that you're paying these bills on a consistent basis and they're giving you an opportunity to boost that credit score. So it's called Boost. All you got to do is sign up for Experian and log your, those little smaller bills. Yes, log those little smaller bills on, and you will be able to get credit. Yeah, it'll boost your credit numbers. Mm-hmm. All right, home purchase. Now, I don't know about this one, because I don't know you could take money and slam it on the table, because let me tell you something. When you're trying to buy a home, they want a track record. You can't be popping up with no $10,000 because my mama died and she left it to me. And she ain't here to tell the story. Nah. So I don't know why this is on the list, because I have not heard yet when you can go and put anything down. Anything that hits your credit report, your bank account over $1,000, they want to know where it came from. So you know you can't be busting out with no money and no cash. So I don't know about all of that. So I guess y'all can go look that one up. All right, they're saying digital items. They say it's a good chance that you'll make digital purchases like ebooks, audiobooks, you'll download games and streaming service subscriptions. They say when you're paying, make sure it's linked to your bank account. Okay? They say if you pay with a Cash App or a debit card, the money is immediately deducted from your account, which means you'll have a hard fight if you don't get what you paid for and you have to fight the charge. And that's true. That is true. I couldn't see where they were going with this. But you if you do it and it comes straight from your bank account, you can always call up your bank and you can now fight against, you know, your any payment if they don't give you the right services. Okay? So they're also saying if you use your credit card, you'll have more options for legal recourse. Okay? So that's a good idea. All those digital items, make sure you're hitting up against your bank account or your credit card. Okay? Oh, and I think this is the last one. They're saying big ticket items, such as a television, a smartphone, a tablet, or a computer, don't go cash, because basically an electronic purchase should always be done with a credit card, and that way, again, you protect yourself. If anything happens, you know, they can put it back in, on your bank account, on your credit card, or you can fight with the bank or something like that. Now you have, again, that hard track record that you can use, and you have someone to help fight your battle, okay? So those were some good ones. Those were some good ones. All right. Well, All right, the teachers are still at it. They have a Connecticut teacher who's been arrested for pulling a 12-year-old student's hair. Now, I looked up the, I looked at the video, and, oh, she had her hair, you know, she had her hair wrapped around this girl's hair, her hand wrapped around her hair like when you fight. Yeah, and she was pulling, and she was pulling, and she was pulling it downwards, and the girl was going backwards, and the kids are standing around and yelling, you know, get off of her. So this Jennifer Wells Jackson, 49-year-old school teacher, she's been a teacher for a minute. This is not new for her. And I don't know what happened, but back on February 1st, she got into some altercation with this 12-year-old student, and she pulled the girl's hair. Now, here's the problem out in this Connecticut area. They're saying that was the fourth teacher arrested in that district since November. So what's going on out there? Wow. Now, Jennifer Wells Jackson is being charged with risk of injury to a minor and second-degree breach of peace. I did not tell y'all they're coming up with all of these crazy charges. What is that? Second-degree breach of peace. Man, come on. Cut it out. Now, little Destinique James. Woo! We ain't got to guess which side of the fence she's on. She got her hair yanked right in the midst of, like I said, in front of the other students who were yelling at the teacher to let her hair go. And she was not seriously injured, thank God. And she, her mother, Destine James, has been on a rampage ever since, when her daughter told her that at the end of the school day, just as the kids were, like, being dismissed, some altercation took place, and this is where the hair pulling took place. And, you know, I'm going to tell you something. Miss Jennifer Wells Jackson, woo, has she been in the Bronx? Baby, they would have not just been arresting just her. It would have been a whole lot of people. So she's out on $20,000 bond, and she has to go to court next week. And, you know, what would possess you? What would possess you to just pull on some kid's hair? And, of course, it's caught on video because the kids got the phone in the school, so you couldn't even deny it. You couldn't even deny it. So I don't know, y'all. I don't know. Well, now this is what I want y'all to talk back. I want y'all to talk back because, you know, I have my feeling about this here, but not on this level. I'm going to go on another level. But the Memphis Black Lives Matter founder, Pamela Moses, she's been sentenced to 6 years for illegally voting. So here's the deal. Back in 2015, Ms. Moses pleaded guilty to tampering with evidence and forgery, which are both felonies, and to misdemeanor charges of perjury, stalking, and theft under $500 and escape. Now, they're not saying what exactly all of this was linked to, but that's what she pled guilty to. Now, she was placed on probation for 7 years and deemed ineligible to vote in Tennessee because of the tampering with evidence charge. Okay? So, what she did was in 2019, she registered to vote. And she wasn't supposed to, as you just heard. And she maintains that she was under the impression that her voting rights had been restored when she went to vote in 2019. But if you were on probation for 7 years, come on, now you can count. Stop. Because if you pled guilty in 15 and you had 7 years of probation, 22 is when you may have been able to begin this process again. Now, here's my question. So now, because she did that and she voted, they gave her 6 years. Now, what a dope. You were out on probation. You didn't even go to jail for all of that stuff. Remember what I read? I read she pled guilty to tampering with evidence and forgery, misdemeanor charges of perjury, stalking, theft under $500, and escape. How you even walked on all of this on probation? So you go and you vote, and now they give you 6 years. What a dope. Okay, so she's a dope. But here's my question to all of you. Now, when you are charged and you serve as a felon, or like in this particular case, she was charged and she was on probation. You can't ever vote again. No. They strip you of your voting rights forever. So if you were charged as a felon when you were 25 and you got out of jail when you were 35, you can't vote again. Now, is that fair? I don't think so. That's like punishing somebody for life. First of all, you can vote while you're serving your sentence. But why can't you? Because whoever you're voting for is going to have some effect on your life, even in prison. But even more so, after you finish serving, you can't vote ever again. So do you think that's fair? I want to know what you think. I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's fair. I think that's like overkill. What do you think? Give me a call, 347-285-7777, and let us know what you think. I always thought that was a little too much. And, you know, God don't treat us like that. Why wouldn't you have an opportunity to vote after you serve your sentence, okay, so even if you want to go as far as saying, okay, you know what, you're serving a sentence for a crime that you have been found guilty of, it's a felony, why? Why can't you vote after that? So help me understand. What you think? You got it? Listen, y'all got to hit me up. You got to talk back to me. I haven't been able to talk to you about anything else other than Ernie's death for the past 2 weeks. So you got to talk back to me. I need to hear from you. What do you think? Do you think that's even, you know, fair, logical? Come on. Help me understand. All righty? All right. Well, this one here takes the cake. Out in Russia, they have out at St. Petersburg Municipal Diagnostic Center. This is where they take x-rays. Now, prior to taking x-rays out here at this diagnostic center, you have to drink some level of fluid. Now, I know things differ in countries like Russia and China and Bolivia and United States. I get that. But I have yet, a person who's been ill several times, I've yet to ever have to drink any type of fluid before an x-ray. Now, we have to do it prior to a CAT scan, but never before an x-ray. Now, maybe what they're saying is the x-ray is what we call a CAT scan. That's the only thing I can think of. Well, 7 people died, and at least 24 people were sick after they were poisoned when they swallowed battery fluid before having their x-rays. And they said these people suffered agonizing deaths and chronic injuries after this deadly mistake. They say some senior Russian doctor has since been detained as part of a criminal probe into the mix-up, where they gave these people industrial fluids not made for human consumption. So Dr. Popoff is being held on suspicion of causing death by negligence and providing services that did not meet the required standards. Now, they say these patients drank the battery fluid in preparation for undergoing x-rays of the esophagus and stomach and intestine at this clinic. And after they drank this battery acid, this battery fluid, they experienced what they called hellish symptoms. They say at least 4 of the patients passed away less than 12 hours after downing the deadly cocktail. They say that an expert pathologist said that in this clinic, they simply took an uncertified powder and dissolved it in water. And what they actually got was battery fluid. And this is what they use for car batteries. Oh, my God. What they use for car batteries that also contain barium salts. And they, you know, people, they were complaining. They had a couple of people that actually complained when they drank this fluid that something was wrong. They said something was wrong. But yet, when they were told to finish drinking it, they finished drinking it. Now, can you imagine ingesting battery acid? What that must have felt like going down? Oh, my gosh. So they said it tore up their throat, their stomach, their intestine. It caused serious infection and organ failure. One 60-year-old woman passed away. One 42-year-old man passed away. A 38-year-old woman passed away. All these people, they were not, like, really old people. So my thought was, What in the world? What in the world was this your first time getting an X-ray? Now, remember now, four people died, but yet 24 other people managed to somehow live, but they've got, like, poisoning and all kinds of things that's wrong with their bodies now. And they even said that some of the paramedics even covered up what was going on. And they were like, well, what kind of paramedics cover up what happens when you drink battery fluid? So, like, when these people drank it, they had the X-ray, and they went home. And I don't – they have this second level of investigation, because they're saying that the paramedics didn't respond properly when they picked these people up. Oh, my gosh. How could this have possibly been some mix-up? So they're not buying this mix-up thing. Like I said, you know, the pathologist said that they just took this powder, put it in water, gave it to these people to drink. And like I said, you know, I know, sometimes when they give you a CAT scan, you have to drink this milky stuff, and it tastes bad, but it's not like toxic tastes bad. It's just like, ugh, tastes bad. But when you first start downing that and it's ripping your throat apart, oh, I'm sorry, you ain't getting me to drink that no more. I guess we just won't have this CAT scan, because this ain't happening. This is that. So can you imagine these people who really thought that they were taking something to help? Can you imagine? And now these people are dead or either damaged for life. That's a bit much. That's a bit much. So I need my due time crew to start weighing in on all of this here. And I know they are probably chomping at the bits, you know, because this is a bit much. This is a bit much. So where you at? 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 Oh, my pastor, Charlene. Let me say good morning to my pastor, Charlene. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. Good morning, listeners. I'm so glad we're back. How are you?
Me too. Me too. I'm well, thank you. I'm well. God has been really good to me, holding me up along with all of you. And I missed your voice on here, miss chatting with you on here. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Thank you, Lord.
All righty, all righty. So we got some stuff to talk about. We've got this Connecticut school teacher who is one of four, I think they say, who's been arrested since November for going, like, bug wild over there, but pulling this girl's hair. And like I said, you could see her, like, you know what? And it looked like she tried to do it on a sneak tip where you couldn't really see that she was pulling, and she's pulling, pulling the girl down, and the kids are standing there yelling. You know, get off of her. Stop pulling her hair. Get off of her. What is going on with these teachers, Pastor Charlene?
Crazy. Like you said, she was in that school, because she was up here in New York.
Girl.
Oh, different situation.
That's right. Would have been a whole lot of folk arrested.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. For her to do it on the sneak tip, when you were saying it, I thought of that she probably, the young lady, had long hair, and, you know, she was flinging it, and she got tired of her flinging that hair, and she came up behind and wrapped it up, because I have long, well, my hair used to be longer, and I know that that was one of the things that people had a problem with because of your hair, you know, and then, you know, she was probably talking, And she wrapped her hand around it, thought nobody could see. But, you know, these kids, like you said, everybody got a phone. So they're going to catch stuff that you don't even think they're going to catch. But I'm surprised that the children, you know, just screamed and hollered. But, you know, if she was up here, it would have been a beat down. Mama would have been
It's true.
And the whole family. And even though that she was out, they'd have been knocking on, well, I won't say knock on the door, kicking doors in and all of that as well.
Yep. I agree. Because I thought the same thing. I'm like, ooh, has she been here? Them kids would have been jumping on that teacher. It wouldn't have been just no yelling. Wouldn't have been no yelling. They would have got a chance to get a sneak punch in. Because she wouldn't have been able to tell who kicked or punched her. Because she's too busy with the head wrapped around her hair. But then that's some serious problem. Because like the article said, you know, since November, this is like the fourth teacher that has been arrested. Like, why are you getting arrested as a teacher? And this has become like a regular occurrence for this this state. This doesn't even make any sense.
Absolutely. I think that before they get, because you know they're going to say that they pressured, this, that, and the other, they going through things. But if you get to a place that you need to put your hands on anybody, that's your cue for you to walk away. That's your cue for you to leave, you know, in this way that there will not be all this extra you going to jail. I want to know how you, you know, they just let you out because you should be wanting to stay in the jail and not being outside because you that family night just might think crazy.
Absolutely. And I'm thinking that the jails in Connecticut ain't all that big. So, you know, somebody might be able to put their hands on you in more ways than one out in Connecticut. So that's a little risky to me, too. That's a little risky to me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness gracious. All right. So you have this Memphis BLM founder who got away in 2015. With felonies on probation and other charges, she didn't go to jail, and she did not, and she was not allowed to vote, and she was told so. That she, as long as she was on probation, she was not allowed to vote. So she finds her way in 2019 to register to vote. She votes, and now they find out that she voted, and now they're giving you 6 years. Now, that was pretty dumb. That was pretty dumb. What do you think?
Yes. Because if they let you escape and you didn't give no charges, girl, why you put yourself out there in the light? You should have been like, ooh, thank you, Lord. Let me just stay right here. Whatever y'all tell me to do, I'm going to do. Whatever you tell me I can't do, I ain't going to do. I think that it was crazy.
Okay, so now here's my question. You know, when you are a felon, they restrict you from ever being able to vote again. Do you think that should be a part of a life sentence, even after you've served your time? So you like the example I gave, you're 25 years old, you commit a felony, you serve 10 years, you get out of jail, and you're 35 years old, and then you live from 35 to 93, but you still can't vote. Is that right? Is that fair in your opinion?
I said, no, it's not fair. They've done their time. People do other things, and they are able to vote. You know, putting their hand in the cookie of the voters that's supposed to be counting. I think that it's not fair. I think that once you get to a certain time in your life, you know, we all make mistakes. Growing up, young, getting locked up. I don't think that should travel with you forever. You know, if you have, you know, got yourself together and you're doing life correct now, I think that it's not. It's just not fair. It's not fair that you should just have that sentence that you did when you was, what you said, 25, that you should continue to have to live it in 85. So it's not fair for me.
All right. So, all right. So listen, you're in jail for those 10 years and you're a felon. You're serving time. Do you think you should be able to vote during the time you're serving?
I think that they should, because you still, whoever gets in the seat, you know, it's still a part of your life. Whoever wins, they're still going to have control of whatever seat that they're sitting in. I never thought about that they should took it away. Until I know that when it comes up, like when you go for a job, and then, you know, they'll say, oh, no, well, you've been a felony, you can't get this job or whatever. But just on voting, that should not matter.
Okay.
That should
okay.
not matter. You should be able to vote.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All
and
right.
So I'm watching We Shall Overcome.
Yeah, I think that needs to start, right? Oh, my goodness. Okay, so here we got our last story where these seven people die and 24 people poisoned when they were given this battery fluid to swallow before having their x-ray. Now, I think that the x-ray is what we call a CAT scan. I don't think it's like our x-ray. So you start drinking this fluid right before you take this test. What happens when you start drinking and it starts burning your throat?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's what I thought of. Y'all didn't ask no questions. Even if it's your first time of anything, you should be asking questions. You should be investigating what's going to happen. Like you said, you go on internet and find whatever that you need, whatever answers that you need, just as well as people go on there for their medicines. You know, when you get a new medicine, you're looking it up to see the side effects. My first thought was, wasn't it burning your throat, and why did you continue to drink it? My thought was also that, well, maybe, though, did you ask any questions? Why is this going to happen? Because I know for myself, I don't care what test I'm taking, I need you to tell me from the beginning to end before I go do it. That's another thing. And then just thinking about the scam of the money. You know, so this person who did it, you know, you didn't check where you was going and people had died, and now you got all of these people coming in and they dying. Oh, no. Mm-mm. Y'all didn't do your homework.
Yeah, you know, they do say that there was a couple who was there in the clinic together, and he was the husband is the one who was the one taking the toxic fluid, and she says that he asked what is this, and they told him, oh, you know, It's just a part of the process, you know, just keep drinking it. And after he kept drinking it, he ended up collapsing and dying. And she was like, well, we asked. And I'm like, ooh, baby. You know, so it's not like nobody even asked, but when they did ask, they were encouraged to continue to drink this fluid that was burning as it was going down. It's like, how do you even, what kind of answer do you get, Pastor Charlene, that makes you say, okay, I'm going to keep drinking it. It's killing my throat. But all right, you know, I guess, you know, it won't burn as much later. Oh, Lord have mercy.
Listen, Steph, they had the test I had to take, and it's supposed to where it lights up on your inside. I don't know the name of it. And they gave me this medicine, and they told me that I needed to drink it, right? And for you to take the test, they're supposed to see, like, your inside of your organs or whatever. And I said to them, first, I want to know, is it going to burn me? What is this going to make me do? Not knowing that when you drink it, after you take the test, when you come outside into the sun, it makes your body feel jittery.
Wow.
So I was outside, and I started feeling so jittery, I went back to the place. Because it didn't burn my throat like, oh, my God, my throat is on fire. It just, like, was nasty, and it gave you, like, a little funny, like, a little sensation in your throat, right? And I said, I went right back to them, and I asked them, and they said, oh, well, when you're in the sun, it's like that they just see the sun does something to it. I lit that place up and my doctor as well because I felt like y'all was trying to kill me. And from then on is when I started to ask questions about that because my thought was, are y'all really trying to take me out? You know, I'm supposed to come here to find out what's going on with me, but you're giving me this medication that's making me feel funny. And that's the same thing they said, you know, as time go on, that it will, you know, come out. Just drink a lot of water.
Yeah.
And from then on,
yeah,
anything that's going to burn me, I'm not taking it. But my question to this lady was, when y'all in here and we taking these tests, there's other people in the room, you know, in the waiting room. Y'all ain't never seen no bodies come by, y'all? On the stretcher?
Well, that was the funny part because they said that this was happening, you know, like you said, it's a flow of people going in and out. And it's like, yo, you were watching because they said, this one, like I said, this couple, you know, she watched her husband's, you know, response, his body response. And she was like, wait. And they're both asking. And slowly she watched her husband collapse. Now, my thing was, you didn't see nobody else up in there either? Because this was immediate, Pastor Charlotte. They said that when the people drank it, their throats, of course you're drinking battery fluid. It would definitely hurt your throat. And right then and there, the people just started dropping. So my thing was, well, what happened to everybody who was watching? That's weird. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. Clearly ain't enough questions being asked, Pastor Charlene. So I don't know what's going on in Russia. But over here in the United States, I doubt that would have taken place too. But thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for being back with us today. And we're coming back to continue our conversation.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Let's say good morning to our girl, Tamika. Good morning, Tamika.
Monday morning. Good morning. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you. I'm doing well. Just happy to be back with my family. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. Getting ready.
All righty. So we've got our stories, three crazy ones. You've got your Connecticut teacher who is now out on $20,000 bond for pulling on the young lady's hair. And the funny part is when what did they say? She's being charged with, let's see. What's she being charged with? She's being charged with, wait a minute, I got to read this again because I was like, okay, y'all really going out there now. What you think? Just tell me what you think while I look because I just missed it. Tell me what you think when about this pulling of this hair.
You know, I'm listening to what you did state about there being more staff that have been arrested. I want to be very honest about what I've learned, you know, talking to Brother Al because he works in the school system is, you know, you find out a lot. These teachers go through a whole lot. You know, these children, they do whatever they want to do. They say whatever they want to say. They act the way that they want to act. And unfortunately, a lot of teachers don't have the recourse that you would think, you know, and I'll give you just a simple prime example. You know, I was talking to Al one day and this little girl got in, she had a meltdown and she took her food and threw it all over the floor. Now, normally in any circumstance, even if it was my child, I'd, okay, you threw it, you know, you need to pick it up. you know, and, you know, I was saying, Al, well, you're not going to tell her to pick it up. He said, I can't, because to them that's corporal punishment. You know, so I felt like, personally, his hands are tied, you know, and a lot of the staff have that issue. And with that being, not that I'm saying that what she did was the right thing, but it becomes complicated when you can't do anything. You know, my heart goes out to the parent as well as the child. You know, you pulled my hair, and from what I could see, if I was looking at it clearly, you know, the child has long hair. And so you pulling from the length that you pulled, the roots of the hair, oh, my gosh, the trauma that you caused. You know, you might need to just take a second, you know, ask somebody else, can they watch the child? I said that previously a while before. Listen, I need to take a break. Can you watch such and such? You know, until you can get your emotions under, you know, putting your hands on somebody's child, that's really going beyond.
Yeah, and as they said, this is in Connecticut, this is the fourth time that a teacher's been arrested since November. So clearly, you know, these people are losing it. The kids are losing it, and the student and the teachers are using it. I can't even imagine not being able to tell a child to pick up something that you deliberately threw on the floor, because that's considered corporal punishment. So, you know, the powers that be are also creating, you know, problems within the school system, because they should be given some level of ability, you know. And I guess, okay, I should at least be able to say, you know, pick it up once or twice. If you don't, now there, you have to go, you know, and there's some type of punishment or something like that. But to not be able to say it at all, I mean, now you're just going a bit too far. You're just going a bit too far.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I found it. She's being charged with risk of injury to a minor and second degree breach of peace. So, you know, you're getting creative with all of these terminologies, but you can't get creative with how to handle when a child does something. You know, give me a
Absolutely.
Break already. Give me a break already. That,
you know,
that's like retarded.
Even with your own child, you know, when your own child is acting up, you know, you can at least say to the child, go sit in the corner, you know, do something, you know. And again, you know, it makes it really complicated, you know, if a child is acting up. As a staff member, I can't tell the child to sit down, because, again, that's viewed as corporal punishment, you know. And so, you know, in an area, and I don't know what happened at that particular area, you know, in Connecticut, but in an area where you can't do anything, you know, unfortunately, you know, you try to get back. And as you said, it looked like she tried to do it on a fly. So you've got this agitation. You don't have anything to do with it.
Yeah.
The best thing that you can do is pull a child's hair. That's horrible, you know. And so,
yeah,
you know, my heart goes out to Connecticut. And of course, if it was in New York, we've already said it would be a totally different deal. Because now you've not only got the child, you got the child going off. The parents are definitely coming to the school. And if the parents got any friends, neighbors, relatives, they coming up. And the school, you know,
Absolutely.
Has, you know, more than they had to deal with from the very beginning.
Absolutely. This would be this would be pandemonium 101 once you got, you know, somebody's hands around their hair and all of this kind of stuff. They wouldn't be taking that lightly at all. So we've got this Memphis BLM founder who's now been sentenced to 6 years for illegally voting when she was out on probation and was told she could not vote. I guess during the time she was on probation, she lied and registered to vote in 2019, and she was found out to have voted. So what do you think, you know, do you think that was fair? Do you think, my bigger question is, you know, what do you think about the felons not being able to vote after they have served their sentence?
Well, I've always felt that wasn't fair. There were some voting rights. When I lived in Virginia, there was a petition that went out to reenact or allow people who have served their time and, you know, are living their normal lives to be able to vote, because, you know, that's really, you know, it's almost as if saying, you know, you're not quite human because you can't vote. You know, I served my time. I haven't done anything since that time. Why can't I vote?
Right, right, right. What about the ability to vote while you're serving time? Do you think that they should be allowed to serve, to vote even while they're serving time?
I think they should. You know, I don't understand what me being incarcerated has to do with anything. And, you know, I guess with the incarceration system, they try their best to dehumanize you. And I feel like that is one way that they dehumanize you, by taking away or stripping your right to vote. You know, that's something that every person should be able to do. And the fact that you can't is, you know, it should be a problem. And I guess, you know, I don't know. I guess people just decide that they get to the point where they, well, this is where I'm living at, and they accept it, but they shouldn't.
All right. Remember, I'm coming. I already see that there's a comment from a listener as to whether you should be able to vote, you know, if you're a felon, while you're in prison serving your time. And what do you think about afterwards? Do you think that once you become a felon, you should have your voting rights stripped? Let us know. 347-285-7777. All right, Tamika, we got these 7 people dead, 2 dozen other people who are also suffering from the effect of drinking battery fluid in preparation to take an x-ray out in Russia. Could that happen to you?
No, because I'm a loudmouth. You know, when it comes to my health, we're talking about my specific individual health. I will nag. I will complain. Every person that comes by, any person that I can get an attention of, the lady that's answering the phone, you know, the doctor that's passing by that has nothing to do with what I'm, hey, excuse me, this hurts. Hey, can somebody, you know, and I try my best to be nice about it, but you're not going to, you know, keep doing certain things. I remember I had surgery, and what they did was they automatically gave me morphine. And I kept telling the nurse that was servicing me, I said, ma'am, this thing is making me sick. And I said, if you take me off the morphine, I promise you, you know, I just test it. She was like, well, you're in a lot of pain. I said, I have a high tolerance for pain. Just take me off the morphine. They kept giving me food. I couldn't hold it down. And I kept saying to her, ma'am, it has to be because it is morphine. Take me off. And some nurse came by and purposely pushed the button. They have like these little push buttons that you use when you want the application of morphine.
Right.
She came past me and pushed that button about 10 times, just being mean, you know. And I went and told, you know, when the next nurse came in, that following nurse, I said, listen, you got to take me off this morphine, because the first nurse kept pushing the button, and, you know, I like I said, I'm a loudmouth. I'll keep going until I get what I need. So I became tearful, and I said to the lady, please take me off this morphine. And when she said, okay, I'm going to listen to you, but if it's not any better, I'll put you back on. I said, just try it. And when she took the morphine, you know, when she took me off the morphine, she automatically saw within minutes that I was a lot better. I could maintain my food. And I said, I told you, you know. But as for me taking something that burns to the, you know, I put it in my mouth and it's burning, oh, no. I look at you right now, no, I'm not taking this. You know, and if I have to walk out and go someplace else, you know, it's the thing that people have a tendency that they're so trusting of doctors and they're so trusting of nurses. Sometimes you need to question something. If it's bothering you, no. We're not going to take this. Thank you so much. I'll go somewhere else.
Yeah, you got to speak up. There's no way in the world that would be acceptable to me, just from the moment it hits my mouth and I'm going to be okay. That's crazy. That is straight crazy. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Lady Tamika, and we'll be back to continue our conversation. Ah, let's say good morning to Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today?
All right. I am doing well, thank you. I'm doing well. You sound good. How you doing?
I'm doing well, doing well. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
All righty, all righty. Giving God thanks to have you on today. Oh, we're talking about our three stories. We got the Connecticut teacher who's yanking on the girl's hair, pulling her hair, and now she's out on $20,000 bond. You know, what's going on with our teachers out there? They say this is number four since November who's had to be arrested. What's happening out here in Connecticut?
Yeah, that's kind of crazy, but you know what? It just goes to show that some of these children can take you there, boy. They can absolutely take you there. Not that, you know what I'm saying, I condone that. But yeah, some of them, I mean, listen, I be wanting to pull my grandchildren in this house sometimes. They frustrate me so bad. Get your man behind down. Sit down. You know, you want to yank him by the collar sometimes. But, yeah, that's crazy. And I just couldn't imagine it being no black child. You know, because
yes, it was.
You know,
yes, it was.
Was it?
Wait, hold on. Let me give you the name. All right, ready, ready? Destiny James.
Ooh. Yeah, Pookie and them shit should have been up there. Before she even went to jail, Pookie should have been there.
Yes, I don't know.
Shaquita and Shaquana should have been there. I don't know. I'd rather serve my time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, but the children were yelling, you know, get off her hair. Somebody was videotaping, needless to say. And, you know, now she's been charged, you know, with these two, you know, accounts and counts rather. And now she's going to, you know, possibly serve some time. You know, I mean, I don't know. They're trying to figure out why we can't get no teachers.
Right.
You got to rethink. You know, you got to think about being a teacher these days.
Yeah, that's a difficult profession. I mean, it was always a difficult profession. But now, I mean, you can't do nothing. Can't say nothing. You can't do nothing. So, you know, to say your hands are tied. I didn't realize just by saying, you know, pick up what you dropped, that's corporate punishment. Man, I'd be in jail.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're going to pick it up.
Yeah, it's sad when we've gotten to the point where we can't say anything to the kids. And now you're wondering why these children are out of, you know, they just are out of the way. Because if you can't say nothing to me, then I'm going to act up. Because you can't say nothing to me.
They started that when they took the power away from the parents. Now, yeah, I know there's some abusive parents. But when you say I can't spank, I can't say certain things to my own child that I produce myself, and you're not helping me pay or feed or clothes or nothing, none of that stuff, but I can't say nothing? Oh, no.
Absolutely.
That's when they went wild.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But how about this? I can't say anything, but you keep calling me when my child does not behave properly.
Right.
So what are you
to
do?
Right.
You calling me and
right.
I'm supposed to just take her home and talk to her and bring her back. So, again, you know, it's a cockeyed system. It's a twisted system. All right. We're talking about the Black Lives Matter founder out in Memphis who illegally voted when she was on probation for a felony. What do you think?
Well, I think she's not very bright. You know, again, you know, y'all always hear the jail stories from me. I'd be so happy to get out of jail. Whatever you want me to do. You don't want me to vote? I don't have to vote. I really listen. If voting is going to stop me, you know what I'm saying, from my freedom, I don't care. Biden, Trump, Hillary, y'all go at it. Let me just stay out here free, because I know what it was like to be in jail. I thought that was crazy. You know, I don't understand why it was that important. I know one vote matter, but now look what happened.
Well, okay, so now let me ask you, when it comes to felons being able to vote post their time being served, what do you think, do you think that that's fair or not?
I think, this is what I think. I think if you served your time and you've gotten out and you've done what you're supposed to do, then now, I mean, if you're allowing me to go back into society, then let me live like the people in society. So, yeah, I should be able to have the same means and the same, I should be able to afford it, the same privileges that everybody else do. So, yeah, I should be able to vote.
Okay. Well, what about as you're serving your time as a felon, should you be able to vote at that time? During
no,
that
I'm
period
a felon.
Of time?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I think that's
okay.
part of your punishment. So whatever you do, your punishment until you serve your time.
Okay. All right. Come on, Pastor KL. We got these Russians who are drinking this toxic concoction, and they just did drinking it despite the fact that it's killing their throat. What's going on?
I think again, these folks are crazy. These folks, listen, if I get a bitter Kool-Aid, I'm not drinking it. And this is Kool-Aid. If the Kool-Aid too bitter, or if it don't have enough sugar in it, I'm not drinking it, let alone something burning me on purpose. This is supposed to burn? No, I need another doctor. This is not happening. You know, I mean, listen, we've gone to a point where we do the things that doctors say do just because they say they doctor. But what about you as an individual? Don't you know how your body feels? You know, when you go to the doctor and tell the doctor, listen, I come here because certain things are not normal. These are the things that's happened. Then you know your body better than the doctor. So when something starts burning you, the doctor ain't drinking it. So I'm not drinking it.
All righty. Makes a whole lot of sense. You all make a whole lot of sense. Let's hear from our listeners. We haven't heard from our listeners in 2 weeks. Let's hear. Let's say good morning to Shantice. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you. So what are our listeners saying this morning?
Okay, so we have a few comments. The first two are regarding the prison voters. First comment reads, I think it's not fair, and I bet no lawmaker would be able to logically explain why this law was ever put in place. Prison and or jail is supposed to be a rehabilitation type place. The time they serve, you'd hope it would change them, and when they come out, they would be a better citizen. So how do you explain how hard life now is because they are convicted felons? Taking away their right to vote, making it hard to get a job, can't get student loans or financial aid to further their education. Definitely not fair.
A lot of sense, listener, making a lot of sense.
Okay, then we have, it isn't fair, but it's another old holdover from Jim Crow and reason why they incarcerate minorities way more than the other side. So they have a way to decrease the voting population who tend to vote Democratic.
All right. A lot of people have said that. We'll see how much truth there is, but that is a common complaint that, yeah, that's why they lock us up more, because this way they can contain a lot of different things that go on and our inability to really function in this world. So, all right. Do you got something else?
Okay. Yes, and we have one more comment in regards to the teacher. Comment came in. The teachers are getting tired of being disrespected by these kids and the old school law where the teachers could discipline them. However, now they can't because of all the laws, and the kids know that they have power.
Absolutely. You know, it's just like Pastor Kale said, it starts from the home. You've stripped the parents. Now you strip the teachers. Now who's left? Nobody. The animals are running the zoo. All right. Oh, my goodness. Very, very, very powerful comments. Thank you so much, listeners, for, you know, participating and interacting with us and giving us your thoughts. Thank you so much. All right, Shanties, we'll be back in a moment to have our conversation, to hear from you. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
All right. So we've got a little bit of time for our relationship topic of the morning. And we're talking about dating an older man, dating an older woman, and some of the things that you need to think about. And so I want to run it by you, my due time crew, to find out, you know, what your thoughts are, dating an older man or an older woman. They say that you may not be in a relationship for all the right reasons. What are you thinking, Pastor KL?
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, sometimes either side is just looking for a sugar, you know, a sugar mama or a sugar daddy, you know, and that's their main goal. And I think that's definitely the wrong reason. You know, especially with men with older women, you know, we always talk about how the older women mature faster. So the men are not ready, you know, as far as mature standpoint. You know, to be with an older woman, but they figure that the older woman got their stuff together, got a house, got a car, got some good job, good benefits, and, you know, like now, tax season is coming around, so, you know, this is a good, let's find an older woman situation. Tax season, you know, you got a job. You ain't sitting home waiting for PBT, so maybe I can get me a piece. So, yeah, it's definitely the wrong reason, but that's what they do it for.
All righty. Pastor Charlene, what are you thinking, you know? They say, you know, if you're dating older, you might not be dating for the right reason. Do you agree?
Absolutely. Sometimes people date because they're looking for a mother or a father, and they don't know how to function as an adult. So sometimes they depend on that person. So that wife becomes that mother figure, and that father, the man becomes the father figure. So sometimes that plays a part as well of in a relationship that who's ever older.
All right. And Tamika, what you thinking? Wrong reason, possibly?
Could be. You know, it could also be the notoriety. You know, we've mentioned two topics already, but, you know, you being that young person, you know, you know you're going to get such and such and such because he's a grown man, you know, or she's a grown, you know, grown woman. So you're looking up, you know, and as for the person who's dating the younger person, it's again, you know, something that you can talk about. Oh, I got this shorty, you know, she's 20 years old, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, you might be looking at it just for, you know, what other people would say.
Okay. They say that dating older, you may run into problems where they have a lot more or a lot less time for you. What you thinking, Pastor Charlene? Is that true?
Oh, yes. And the reason I say that, because the older person is going to have to take a nap. They're going to want to be taking naps when the young one want to go out. You know, come on, let's go out. And oh, I'm tired. You go ahead. I see you when you come back. Woo! What about, what do you think, Tamika? They say, you know, you may have less time or more time. They may have, you know, either one for you. Is that something that you agree with?
Yeah, you call him Sugar Pop. Sugar Pop not available because he got to take care of the grandkids. He got bills to pay, so he might not be available
Uh-oh.
When you need him.
Uh-oh, all right, Sugar Pop. Woo, come on, Sugar
not
Pop.
Not the cereal.
Come on, Sugar Pop, Pastor KL. What you thinking? You know, sometimes they don't have enough time. Sometimes they have too much time.
Yeah, well, you know, I ain't never been a sugar pop, you know. But what I do know is that, you know, these older women or older men, you know, their priorities are different. You know what I mean? They're going to work. You know, it's not like, okay, let's cut school and be together, or let's not go to work together and be together. No, we going to work because we got real bills that keeps on coming. So our priorities are different. So we may not have the time that you want because you have a part-time job. So you got a little bit more time than we do. We got a full-time job with full-time bills, you know, full-time situations. You know, so sometimes that can be a disadvantage for the person who on the go who wants to see the world. Listen, us old folks, we don't see the world already. We're not impressed by the world. You know, so we don't mind staying in the house. You know, we done traveled. We done been to Disney. We seen Mickey Mouse. We wasn't that impressed. So now we watch Mickey Mouse on TV. You know, we got every cable channel. We got the Fire Stick. We're not going to the movies. You know, and you know, the young folks, just they want to be out. I'm not doing it.
Wow. All right. They say when you date older, you might not be as emotionally mature as you think. Is that true, Tamika?
Sometimes there are conversations that a older person might offer, and because you haven't arrived mentally at that area, the conversations can be above your head. And because they've seen the world, they've done it all, you know, and you may not be as experienced, sometimes the conversation leaves you lacking, you know, and those are areas where you might not meet minds or you might not even understand what they're talking about.
All right, Pastor Sharlin, you might not be as emotionally mature as you think. Do you agree with that? Absolutely, because just like Sister Tamika said, that, you know, our conversations are different. You know, sometimes, you know, you might say, I'm going to say Barry White, but everybody knows Barry White, where they're talking about, you know, Beyonce, for example, you know, because of the age difference, you know, and then where that you'll be able to, when you're sitting and having conversation, a real conversation, you know, a lot of them don't know their goals or where they want to go and where that, you know, an older person is already stable. So the conversations are always different. So that's why it's always so hard to meet in the middle. You got to find someone, you know, they want to hear the rap. You know, we don't want to hear rap and loud music. We want to be able to hear something smooth, little Teddy, little somebody, you know. All right, good, Pastor Sharlin. Oh, Pastor KL, you might not be as emotionally mature as you think you are.
I mean, that's true. That's definitely true. But you know what? It's funny because it goes for the both sides. You know, when we were growing up, they said if Johnny had four apples and he ate two apples and, you know, added one apple, how much we have? Now the math is, you know, square to the root to the nine to the, I mean, so it's both sides. We're not as mature in their education, you know, saying as they're not as mature as the way we live, as the lifestyle we've already lived. You know, some of these folks are think that they lived, but they haven't lived. They haven't left the Bronx. They haven't left Alabama. They, you know, you date some folks and they've never left their state. and you're in awe that they think that they have explored the world in that one little state, that the whole world acts like that one little state. So, yeah, it's when you have conversations with younger people, it's really funny because they think that they've already lived.
All righty. All right. Pastor Charlotte, they say there might be an ex-wife or children in that person's life. Can you handle that?
I know that's right. Because he got kids as old, almost close to you, then his age, you know. So you're right. It's always that ex-wife or them children, you know, because depending on how young he go, you know, because there's some that's out here that's a little younger than he should be really, you know, being with, but my opinion. And it, you know, your kids and them can go and have a conversation and become friends where that you know, you're the elder person.
So. Okay. All righty. Tamika, what about this issue that there might be an ex-wife or ex-husband or children in his life or her life?
Yeah, those, you know, ex-spouses can be an issue for, you know, a younger person, you know, and, you know, Pastor Charlene had mentioned it, you know, you walking around and he, you know, tells you, you know, come meet such and such, and you find out the children are 2 years younger or 2 years older than you. That, you know, how do you deal with those type of situations? You know, you're pregnant with his child, let's just say, for instance, and he already has children, you know, that are considerably older, you know, 20 years older than the child that you're having now. You know, how do you deal with those type of situations? You know, the conversations that he may have with the ex-wife, are you going to be able to deal with that? Because there may be conversations, you know, that transpire, especially if he's still in communication, you know, with the wife, et cetera, et cetera. As you as a young person coming in and getting engaged or involved with someone who's considerably older, it's something you got to think about because it's not something that just, you know, is going to pass overnight. You're going to have some conversations about these type of things.
All righty. And Pastor KL, what about that ex-spouse or children that person may have?
Yeah, that can be, I guess, as they say, a game breaker, because a lot of times, you know, not all divorces end bad. You know, some couples are better not being a couple, so they have a good relationship, and when they raise children together, you know, they still have, no matter how old the children are, they still have that good relationship, whether they're together or not. And sometimes the other side or the younger side can't understand that. They automatically think something's still going on, or there's still fire and still sparks. So that could be a game changer. And then sometimes the older man is picking one of your friends, and you know,
ooh,
and now you mad because, you know, this is my best friend who's messing with my daddy. How dare you? That means I'm about to call you mommy. So it's a lot of stuff going on. A lot of stuff.
All right now. Tamika, they say your life trajectory could be headed in completely different directions. Woo! How true is that?
I was just going to say there's no truer statement, you know, and when you're dating someone who's considerably, you know, older than you, they look at life one way, you look at life another way. And the conversations that you have could lead to arguments because you don't see it the same way that other person sees it. And so you'll find yourself always pulling, you know, and it's kind of like looking at a rubber band. There's two things that a rubber band will do. It'll either stretch or pop. And so depending on, you know, how that relationship works, it's one or the other.
All righty. Oh, Pastor KL. We're talking about life trajectories could be headed in completely different directions. Could be.
Well, I mean, Definitely. And then it depends on the how large of a gap age-wise. You know, because you could just be coming up, talking about careers and all the stuff you want to do, and I'm just thinking about a good headstone. You know, this is where I want you to put me. You know what I mean? So that's two different conversations. You know, don't send me to this one. Send me to this one. Don't put me in the ground. Burn me. You know, I mean, you don't want to have this conversation. But this is my reality, because this is where I am. So yeah, it could be a problem.
All righty, Pastor Charlene, how true is this statement that your life trajectories could be headed in completely different directions?
Definitely, definitely. I was over here laughing with Pastor KL said, I was just going to go with taking pills. He went to headstone. You know, of the medication, you know. And absolutely, because your goals, what is your goals? And they're looking far as lifelong, where that older, we done did that, been there, and we're that now we're trying to make sure that everything else is good for right now, you know, and because we already got the far, you know, of where we're going to be buried since he went there, where we're going to be buried and all of that, of the insurance part, you know, where that, you know, it's the conversation is always going to outweigh because of the age gap. And then it does, it depending on how far, if it's like 2 or 3 or 4, even 5 years, you know, similar, you know, but if it's 10 and 12 and 20, it makes a bigger difference. So that's why we have that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Okie dokie. Ooh, you three have really started this ball rolling well in this dilemma as to whether you should date older. And we got some more to come back to next week, God spares. So thank you so much for your contribution into our conversation, and we pray you have a blessed day. It's so nice to be with you again.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You guys too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all too. Have a good day, everyone. Love you guys.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. You too. All righty. Ooh, that was a good one. Well, we've come to the point in our Monday morning where we get our switch tip. Let's say good morning to Shantice again. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning.
Ah, what you got for us today?
Okay, can you hear me clear?
I surely can.
Okay. Today I got the switch with Shantice. We're making the switch from the street to our godly seat. And our switch tip 90 is let God have your back. And, you know, Pastor Steph's been talking about, you know, her mommy passing, my grandmother. And the night she passed, I got into a nasty, what's the word I want to use? Altercation, verbal altercation with a family member who really got beside herself. And, you know, I tried to, you know, I've been making a switch for what is this? Not 91 weeks. Okay. Not 90, unfortunately, we had to skip last Monday. But, you know, I've been making a switch for 91 weeks. So, you know, I'm really practicing on the, you know, thinking before I speak, thinking before I move, you know, spiritually strategizing. You know, we learn how to strategize in the streets, but the strategy that we have in the streets, we know we cannot have when, you know, the closer we get to God. So, you know, when stuff was being said and done, I had to really be careful of, you know, the way I reacted. So I thought, you know, I was taking the proper steps. Which I was, and I just allowed, you know, I did, you know, let me get myself, you know, I did, but after some other things were said, that just kind of went out the window. So I had to realize that, you know, this can't be something that's done up until, you know, when God gives us these switch tips, it's not, okay, focus on the tips until someone does or says something, or until you just feel like you're fed up And one of the main things that, you know, I spoke to my church family about it, and they were getting on me, like, Chauncey, that's ungodly, you can't do that. Because I was just pretty much at the point, like, listen, I'm only around this family member if another family member invites the both of us out. So I'm going to just tell that family member, just do me a favor, help me out. Don't have me just do me that. If you say you love me, okay, well, this is how you show you love me. You ain't got to buy me no gifts. Just don't invite her and me out, especially if it's a small, intimate setting and gathering. You know, if you want to enjoy your meal and or your time, do not have us in the same room. And I was being told, you know, that's ungodly, you can't do that. And I got mad because I'm like, well, what can I do? You know, I can't cuss her out. I can't put my hands on her. I can't tell somebody else, make sure we're not in the same room. What can I do? How do I do this? And I went to bed and woke up the following morning, and God had me listen to 2 Corinthians. You know, being able to listen to the Bible, if you don't have an app where you can listen to the Bible, you should really download it, because reading it is good, and then sometimes you just have to, you know, hear it. And pretty much the chapter was talking about, you know, when God comforts you, he now sets you up to comfort someone else. And immediately that family member came to mind, and I'm like, why am I comforting her? I was a lot closer to my grandmother than she was. You know, obviously the way she was reacting that night, she didn't really care about what the family was going through. But nonetheless, I can't dictate how this, her passing, impacted everyone in the family. Okay, whether she was close to them or not, I can't dictate that. And then it went on to pretty much say, don't worry about anything, God has your back. And that really stood out to me, because it's like, okay, you know what, Chauncey, you're so quick to, you know, I didn't want to make a special phone call to say, make sure we're not in the same room, but I was just going to wait for the opportunity, because I knew eventually it would come. And then I would say, okay, do me a favor, don't invite the both of us. But either way, whether I was going to initiate that statement and request or not, it wasn't for me to initiate, and mainly because God would already take care of that. So I came across 1 John 5:18 in the Message version, which reads, we know that none of the God begotten makes a practice of sin, fatal sin. The God begotten are also the God protected. The evil one can't lay a hand on them. And the fatal sin part really stood out to me, and that brought me to Proverbs 6, where, you know, God talks about the seven things that he really hates. And what really stood out to me was Proverbs 6:18a, a heart that hatches evil plots. And he had to show me that that was an evil plot. Even, see, you got to keep making the difference between what makes sense in the streets and what makes sense in the kingdom. And what doesn't make sense in the kingdom is coming up with evil plots. So even though I believe that God understands, I know God understands why I don't want to be. You know, I wasn't trying to, you know, make a scene or anything. Because I could have told the other family member one-on-one. See, I don't need no cheerleading squad like a lot of people do. We can do this one-on-one privately. But through God's eyes, this is hatching an evil plot, so I have to fall back. And it also brought me to verse 19, the second part, where it says, a troublemaker in the family. Now, after what she was saying, how are you now telling me, Jesus, that I'm being a troublemaker in the family? Well, I'm thinking that by saying I want to make sure I'm not in the same room with her, I'm trying to diffuse the situation and make sure that I'm not contributing to being a troublemaker. But because of how my family is, and I'm ready for the smoke, which means I'm ready for everything that comes along with it. But, you know, if I go ahead with saying make sure we're not in the same room, that's going to create other legs. And now the family member I'm going to save to is going to go off. Now her and I are going to go at it. It's just going to be just like a whole lot of unnecessary stuff that I just don't care to deal with. So I would be, in my own sense, well, in my own way, becoming a troublemaker in the family. And in other versions of the Bible, it reads something like, don't scatter the sheep or sow discord. I'm sorry. One who sows discord among the brethren, you know, or the family, however you want to look at it. But yeah, so I had to make sure that I'm not doing that. So again, I had to call back. What's the little heck? But it is what it is. He didn't have me make a switch. I got to make a switch. And I came to Proverbs 6:23, Message version, which reads, for sound advice is a beacon, good teaching is a light, moral discipline is a life path. And again, I have to give kudos to my church family and my pastor, because I did speak to my pastor after I spoke to my church family. I was still a little hot, but you know, I realized that none of us like correction. I don't care who you are, how old you are. Nobody likes to be told that what they think they're doing is wrong. Okay, so don't try to give yourself any credit. But you learn to appreciate it when you are serious about doing better in life. So I still don't like to hear that I'm wrong, but I welcome it and I appreciate it because I'm serious when I say to God, everything that's lying dormant, I need you to bring up to me. We ain't got to make this public, Jesus. I need you to bring it up to me and let me know so I can offer it back to you and you can help me out of all the little silly dysfunctions that's still going on. And I believe that's why, because I didn't want to talk to my church family about it. I didn't. But something was said, and I was okay, you know what, God, I feel like you're bringing this topic up. This is in alignment with what I'm feeling. And I ended up talking about it, and I got checked. So I appreciate him still caring enough to show me that he has my back, not only directly, but through my congregation, through my pastor, through his word, to really show, like, listen, you ain't got to worry about that. When I really thought of that, I said, you know what, God, I don't even have to be around her, because a lot of times where we would end up in the same room, and this was prior to my grandmother passing, I couldn't make the events nowhere. Either I was swamped with work or I was just too tired. And it's still COVID. I don't want to be around a bunch of people anyway. So you already worked this out for me. Meanwhile, I'm sitting here trying to come up with my own plan. So I just really thank him for showing me that, listen, you need to fall back. Let me have your back. Trust in what I'm saying to you. Trust the advice that I'm giving to you. Trust the discipline that I'm teaching you to have. Trust that I'm going to show you how you can still tie into the things that I hate and be careful, because we can easily step into those seven things. And just make sure that we're making the conscious decision to make the switch from trying to come up with our own plans and being there to defend ourselves and just making room to allow God to have our back. Thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you, Shanti. Thank you. And we pray you have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. All right. Let's don't miss the opportunity to hold hands and hold hearts. Go before the Lord together. Heavenly Father, oh God, we thank you. We thank you because even in the absence or the inability to speak to one another, God, you have kept us all. You've kept us all safe. You've kept us in our right frame of mind. You've given all of us traveling mercies. You've allowed some to fly the friendly skies, and you have just kept everyone intact, everything intact. And God, you have brought us back together again. And we thank you, God, for the love that you have shown and that people have shown, how you have taught them how to love, how you have taught them how to give, how you have taught others how to receive. And we give you thanks, God, because no matter what is going on, there's always an investment done by you. And that's the one thing we can rely on. So we say thank you, God, for seeing the rising of the sun. And Lord, we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for again, keeping everything intact, keeping the bills paid that we can just jump right back on without worrying about certain issues, without worrying about, you know, money or anything like that, God. And we pray, God, for the strength that you have given during this separation period. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we will continue to humbly find ourselves at your mercy seat. We pray, God, for continued growth, learning, truth. We thank you, God, for the lessons that have been learned. And we pray, God, that we will stay humble to listen to godly counsel, that we will stay humble to keep our ear to your word, our eyes on your word, God, that we would be receptive of anything that you give so that we can live a life that is pleasing to you, God. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, because you're always there through the thick, through the thin, through the ins and outs, the ups and downs, the on and offs, the good and the bad. We thank you because you're a consistent God and you're a God that never fails. And we're just trusting you, God, that you will continue to touch each and every one of our lives one way or another, and that we would see and acknowledge who you are and what you say so that we all can make it into the kingdom, God. Thank you, Father, for just being you, the amazing God that you are. Thank you for sending your son such a long time ago with us in mind before we were even formed in our mother's womb. Thank you, Lord. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray that now that we have come back together again, God, that we would find strength in one another, that we would grow together, that we would build a force that could not be set apart from one another. The enemy is trying to move in here and there, trying to destroy, but that we're learning each and every day, and that all the things that you have given us would not be done in vain. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So we hear God's got our back. And, you know, that's such a major statement because, you know, God has your back in so many different ways. At all times. And a lot of times, you know, when we're up against something, we hatch our own plans. We do it our way. We come up with, you know, some scheme or some remedy. And God is saying, why? Why? For I know the plans I have for you. Jeremiah 29:11. And we have to keep that in mind. And one of the things that I want to remind us today, that God says, your enemies are his enemies. And that's one of the ways you know he has your back. Because a lot of times, we don't even see the enemy. We think they're friends. We think people love us. We think people mean well. But in actually, they're our enemy. So, you know, we serve a God that sits up high and looks down low. And a lot of times people are just kind of navigating when they don't even realize that they've been exposed. And when all of the chaos was going on, as Shantice was describing, there were so many things I was just saying in my head to God. And I was like, you know, God, you just keep revealing this thing here. You know, you got one set that says, I see all of this going on. You got another set that says they're just oblivious or it works for you now and it don't work for you later. Or you like it today, but you're going to hate it tomorrow. And 3 weeks ago, you didn't like it, but 5 weeks ago, you loved it. But thank God for clarity, where you can see God revealing things right before your eyes, when you hear things that other people don't hear, when things are just being spilled all out in front of you, and that's the time that you step aside and let God be God. Step aside and let God do his thing. Step aside and let God handle and take care of it all. Because, you know, here's what I said to Shantice. I said, you know, don't forget that we always find our way in trouble. Whenever we hatch our own plans, whenever we doing this and doing that, we always end up behind the eight ball with God. And I have stopped a long time ago being in trouble for other people. not doing that no more. I'm not doing it anymore. That No. God can handle it all. And they're wondering why I'm so calm and everybody is so in such an uproar, but I'm not twisted, because I say, you got to deal with God. What you did offended me, but you have to deal with God, because if you did something to me and he considers you my enemy, oh, you in trouble. So I'm just going to sit back and watch your misery, because that's all you're going to have. I'm not worried about you. I'm not worried about who's got your back. I know that God has my back. And this is what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to being able to just stand still and know that God has my back. That's what we have to remember. I don't care what it is. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care, you know, what's happening. You just have to just lay back and know and have that confidence that God has your back. Because there's nothing like it. There's nothing like that feeling that you don't have to do a thing because God's got it covered. I mean, I don't even know what else to feel when I feel that I'm in the comfort of the arms of the Lord. That you got me. You got me during this time. You've got me for this person or people. You've got me. Because some people you just can't deal with. Some people you just can't do anything with. But we serve a God that knows the plan that he has for us. So remember that God has your back. Remember that there is nothing too great, nothing too small, no right time, no wrong time, that he has your back. And that's what's given me comfort in a lot of different areas. When I watched that scenario go from 0 to 150, I was like, oh, whoa, what happened? And it was just pandemonium. And I just I was in awe. And I said, you know, right now I'm going through one of the worst times of my life, but there is peace. There's peace. Ain't nobody sitting here but Stephanie right now. And I'm the one with the peace. All of this uproar all over, but I'm the one sitting right before it. But you have given me peace. So you know what? Grab your peace. Because the Bible tells us, my peace I give to you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Know that God's got your back. And you don't have to get involved with anything. You don't need to. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for jumping back on that horse with me and us just doing what God needs us to do. Thank you, my listeners, for being right there and being supportive and jumping on that horse with us, joining the conversation and helping us move along. Thank you so much. Please, please don't let the opportunity to accept God as your personal Savior. Don't miss that opportunity right now, because later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, where it's Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. I love you.